Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davison Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net. Brilliant goal. On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot. Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional. Lamela will try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamela. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason. Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh wow, what a run! Yunmin Son from inside his own half has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
Welcome to a stacked Touchline Hotspur podcast this week in association with Touchline Fracker, fronted by the new Spurs order. I'll be your host, Owen, aka X-Pac, and I'll be flanked by Tobes. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I forgot to put on my tag name. Let me change it to Goldberg real quick. Sorry, you know, juggling multiple content. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes it's tapping toe, sometimes it's Goldberg. So yeah. Let's change that. Let's change that real quick. I'm good, man.
Good. Era, how's it going, man?
I'm good, man. Let me not lie, I can't even remember who I was.
You claim anyone?
I completely forgot, bro. Probably five times.
And we need to sort that out still.
Speaking of, we got Scott Hall there, man. How you doing from HQ?
They didn't know I was in the building, bro. Obviously, I just skirted around the corner real quick. I had to beat up some man backstage, but I'm here anyway.
You arrived in the black limo as well, yeah?
Hey, don't worry about that. We can't say too much from HQ. You know what time it is.
And we have a special guest today. We got Asa from Touchlines and Touchdowns from the West Coast. How you doing, bro?
Doing good. I think I'm gonna claim Luchasaurus. You know, from AEW. I know it's like way different, way not even really all that related, but it's like sort of related, so it's fine. Don't worry about it.
It's all good. New Spurs order, AEW, both new waves, so it works.
It definitely does.
But yeah, we are fresh off for what feels like a really, really long time off a nice little W on the weekend at home to Aston Villa. Safe to say none of us were that confident going into the match, but it ended up being quite a comfortable performance. So what were your thoughts initially, just like on the kind of the lineup and the first half performance? Take me through it, man.
Yeah, so Tobes and I've talked about this for what feels like months, but this lineup, this team was built to be a 4-2-3-1 team, you know, double pivot with fullbacks that get forward. And we spent felt like 2 months trying to dick around with a 4-3-3, and it didn't work. So when I saw, you know, Højbjerg and Skip out there with Ndombele in front of them instead of Dele, which we'll get to in a moment, I'm sure. I was encouraged, you know, and I thought that this was the type of thing that could work. Also, not seeing Doherty out there made me smile. Like, I don't have anything against the man specifically, but you know, having a right back who doesn't make me want to tear my hair out feels pretty great. That was fun. So I thought that the lineup made sense for the first time in what feels like forever, having that sort of setup. And then, you know, I it's weird to say, but I wasn't angry in the first half. And it feels like the entirety of the Nuno era so far has been a first half that pisses me off, and then you just sort of ride it out one way or the other. Either it gets worse or it doesn't. But I thought Emerson, I said not seeing Doherty in the lineup made me happy, but I thought Emerson played well. I thought he played really well. And I've been less excited about him as others, just because I sort of had an agenda against him when he was at Barcelona because of my Americanness. And he was competing with Sergiño Dest over there. But I was impressed. And I think that having him sort of be able to lock down that right back spot, it makes me less concerned about the future of this team, at least until the next transfer window, because Doherty was not the answer. And Tanganga, he's not a plus going forward, in my view.
That's true. I was buoyed by Aston Villa's lineup as well. Like, really, truly, I didn't realize they had so many players missing. They started to not start Buendia for whatever reason. Leon Bailey, I guess, must have been injured. So when I saw the lineups on paper and I saw the shape that we lined up with and what we've been calling for weeks and months, I was actually quite buoyed. And I was looking at it on paper like, okay, Emerson Royale doesn't actually have to come up against an out-and-out winger. Our midfield looks much more balanced. And we then really and truly give Ndombele that platform to try and be at his creative best. But Tobes, you were at the game. So what you said, Acer, as well, that reminded me of a little stat, like, Nuno's teams pretty much only scoring like 2% of their first halves. So a good start against what is still going to be tough opposition, it was vital. But how would you feel like it went? And Ndombele in particular, given his platform to shine, he's got some minutes under about to be match fit. Like, how do you think he did, and how did Spurs do overall in that first half?
I'm actually going to disagree slightly with Asa on this, not in a sense of the feeling that we get with Spurs watching them in the first half, but I didn't watch that first half and think I'm impressed with this team. I still saw much of the same that I've seen in other matches. Passing, sloppy, can't really build up play, can't really stretch the opposition, can't really dislodge Aston Villa's shape. But I think we had something like 6 attempts in the first half. What I really liked about the first half was towards the end of it, Romero and Emerson started really like showing their quality. Sorry, I got something stuck in my throat. I don't know what the hell this is. No homo. Pause. I had to pause there. But yeah, I think we saw like the two players that I'm sure we'll speak on a lot during this pod, like growing into their role and like justifying why they should have started in the first place. But yeah, Højbjerg took his goal really well. But yeah, I just wasn't really impressed with the first half. I think the second half impressed me way more than the first half, because at least in the second half, we actually created like a lot of meaningful chances. Like, we could have put that game out of sight. Like, glaring chances, Harry Kane bearing down on goal, Son bearing down on goal. Like, on another day, we're giving Aston Villa like 3-4 goals. So I really liked that about the second half in comparison to the first half. First half was just us, was more of what I've been used to this season. We were ultra clinical with probably like our sort of only opening it on goal, and it's not even a clear-cut chance, and then we sort of like stumble into half time. On Ndom, I must admit, that was like, he's my guy, you lot know he's my guy, but that was a terrible performance from him, and it comes off the back of another terrible performance against Arsenal last week. And when he's playing like this, it's very, very hard to defend him. Like, we all know he should be starting week in, week out. My view on that hasn't changed even after the two stinkers. But it's just so hard to defend this guy when everything that people say about him, he does his best to try and live up to it. And when he's playing as badly as he did against as in against Villa. Like, his touch, his passing was off. The few times he'd get the ball to him in good positions, he wouldn't do something good with it. It was just, like, you can tell when Ndom is having a bad game because his quality when he's having a good game is so obvious. Like, you can clearly see what he's doing on the pitch. And when he's having a poor game, oh, my God, it is bad. It's bad. But I just want us to keep the faith and take stock in the fact that that performance as a whole was probably the most encouraging performance since Man City that we've had this season against semi-decent opposition. And we just need to stick with that formula. Like, even if Ndom played bad, just stick with that formula because you know that's him having a bad game. He can get better. And furthermore, the team played better when certain Dons were out of it.
Agreed. That's one thing I wanted to touch on. Like, I fully agree that Ndombele, he's not looking his best. He's not looking like the Ndombele that we want. But I do think that playing him further up the pitch, like in that number 10 position, it made the rest of the team look better than we've seen in recent games. I will say Højbjerg, I don't know. I prefer Højbjerg playing in this role than I do when he's playing sort of like that, the more sort of, I guess, freer role alongside Dele Alli and Skip. I prefer it when he's sitting back like as part of a double pivot, I guess. I thought in the second half, I thought Brian Gill looked good. I thought Lo Celso looked decent for Lo Celso, which again is not particularly great, but I thought he looked decent for Lo Celso. And you know what I mean? Like, we had Son there, who was obviously the star of the show. And then we've got a certain Mr. Harold, I believe his name is Mook of Kane. But my guy, yeah, we'll let you guys know later. But I mean, what can I say about his performance, man? Like, he won't be happy with it. I'm not necessarily happy with it. And I just think it's like, at the moment, it's just looking like, boy, Newcastle, you might as well put your bid in. It's looking crazy right now, man. I heard they got 190 to spend. I don't know. They might as well just put that on Kane and Wing. Might as well chuck Ali in there as well.
Man, that sounds like a good deal. But yeah, like the first half, I think for me as well, like when you can turn around and say that Ndombele wasn't at his best, Kane wasn't at his best, I was encouraged as well. Like, I thought it would have been a real hard ask for us to go completely 360 and be able to keep the ball and create chances against a team like Villa, even though they weren't at their best either. But yeah, like, I was impressed by how we actually managed to keep possession at least. My only criticism of the first half really was when it was 1-0, when it was the last 10 minutes of the first half and we had opening after opening, especially in transition. Even Kane and Son at one point were 2-on-2 and we managed to screw it up. Had they been at their sharpest or their best, we could have been 2-0, 3-0 up by the end of the first half. So the fact that we didn't get kill off the game then would have been my main criticism. But again, it would have been a hard ask for us to go completely 360 from the performances we had in the few weeks prior. The second half didn't start off that great. Obviously, we conceded. But man, I see Ndombele is getting rinsed in the comments there. I'm almost with a loftus cheek. God. All I was going to say there was I was pleased with our reaction to conceding. And Ndombele still playing poor, and now apparently he's been compared to a poor man's Loftus Cheek. This must be a Chelsea fan in here.
Can I ask a question, though? Can I ask a question, you guys? Here? Like, I know Ndombele is an 8 and not a 10, but yeah, in this squad, like, who would you rather play 10 than Ndombele?
Yeah, I don't think it's his best role, personally, but I wouldn't play anyone else because I don't think Ndombele playing there is necessarily putting a square peg in a round hole at the same time. So still, for me, I'd give Ndombele a few more games. If not, then I would probably try out Lo Celso.
Yeah.
If he continues putting in good cameos.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Lo Celso's stock has burnt dramatically with me, so he's going to have to do a madness to get back into my good books. But I actually agree with Era, and I never used to think it before. I always used to argue, no, he's an 8, and I still think he's an 8, but when we play him, as an eight in a 4-2-3-1, the team are just so out of sync. Like, defensively, it's a black hole. Like, he just can't play that position. He hasn't got the legs or the physical attributes to play that position. So if we're going to play a 4-3-3, he has to be a free roll. Or if we're going to play a 4-2-3-1, he has to play in the most advanced of the midfield. We can't have him in the double pivot because it just doesn't work. So, yes, it's not his optimal position, but he can still do a job there for us right now, and I'll be happy with that. I'll take that over Ali there. I'll take that over Lo Celso there.
Before I forget, so we'll get to that. But Yao, are you still done with Højbjerg after what I thought was a pretty good performance from him?
I think I should start this off by saying, no matter what happens this season, Nuno needs to get sacked. I don't care if he wins trophies. I don't care if he gets top six. I couldn't care if he buys a house in Tottenham. He has to go. That's point number one. Point number two, yes, I'm still done with Højbjerg until proven otherwise. A simple passing of the ball into the back of the net does not get you back in my good books. I need silverware. Yeah, so Højbjerg, you're at the top of the stairs. You know what that means. It means come on down, bruv. As for none other than Mukov Harold Mukriev.
Oh, yeah? He doesn't escape.
That guy is on thin ice. He's already halfway down the stairs, but the ice is black, so he cannot see where he's stepping. He's slipping everywhere. I'm telling you now, I don't care what Newcastle pay, but pay them M's. Take him, yeah? Let him be your Shearer. Yeah, I don't give a flying crap. Take him, because I don't see Newcastle spending any more than what some may consider to be ridiculous. Now, is the Mook declining? I don't know. I can't answer that. Only the Mook can answer that himself.
He'll be back.
But he will not get his name back. Yeah,
he'll be back.
He won't get a letter of his name back till he scores a goal. Right now, he's on Nimpoa, so that's why he hasn't got his letters back. But when he does get some goals in the Premier League, I might consider giving him his alphabets back to make his name. But one guy I will say, I never, and I mean the words never, want to see this guy touch the field again, is Dele. I don't like my father, Ali. That guy never touch this field again. Useless git. I never want to see that guy again. Never. Never.
Bam! Asa, I mean, how many months was I saying this about this guy, bro?
All right. So I spent a long time this summer talking, you know, Dele Alli, he's got Dele Alli season, he's coming back, he's gonna be fine, don't worry about it. The man is washed. Send him on a free to Manchester City. They want he's got some work to do there, apparently.
That is dangerous stuff.
This just is saying.
Dangerous stuff, bro. Hey, Ali, listen, yeah? There's some things men can't do in life, yeah? But when it comes to football, man has to learn from Zaha. Zaha smashed David Moyes' door. He didn't play for Manchester United again. The guy got washed, yeah? Now, Dele Alli's out here doing boo-hoo with freaking Pep's door. And Pep's about to retire from Man City. What do you think Pep's going to do with his time? He's going to hunt you down, bruv. Yeah? Now, I know Pep's not a fighter. He might dance with you. We've seen the video of Pep skanking, you know, all of that little salsa, all of that little stuff. He might dance with you, and you might like that style and stuff. But listen, I've sold Dele Alli on eFootball. I've sold him on FIFA. I've sold him on FM Manager. Sold him on Chat Manager, yeah? I even bought This Is Football just to buy him and sell him. So every single computer console game, he is not on the Spurs team, yeah? That guy has to go from yesterday, yeah? I can't believe how crap he is. Because I went to the game, the 5-1 against Lucas Moura.
Oh, I went to that God.
Game. And Ali, look, you can stink on TV, yeah? But when you stink in real life, people mean That's when you think like dog crap, yeah? If you think in real life, if I can smell you from the stands, that means you are stinking, you haven't washed, you haven't used no deodorant. And that's how he smelt on that day, like a pile of horse turd. And he looks like a horse. He's absolutely useless. Get him out of my club. I don't want him here no more.
You know what's crazy about that game as well, yeah? And I don't really want to spend... I know because we spoke about it already, but my word... The performance was horrible. And he scored. He scored a penalty, captaining the team against the fifth best team in Slovenia. Lads, the fifth best team in Slovenia. And he stunk. My goodness, he reeked. Fucking hell. I felt so sorry for Dane Scarlett because every single time this guy got the ball, Ali got the ball, you know, you're not going to get it. You ain't getting that ball. He ain't feeding you fruit. Terrible.
Like Dele gets the ball and Dane's dad just put his head down to be like, all right, I guess I'm going to go back on defense now because nothing good's happening going forward.
Thanks.
But going back to the question about Ndombele, he's an eight, but we don't have another eight to play with him in a 4-3-3. So
we don't have good enough eight to play with him. See, the problem is if you're going to play him in an eight, you need... Wow, you probably need a Pogba beside him. And I'm what I mean by that is like he would look so sick in that United team, the current United team, yeah. If say United had, I'm trying to think who their best DM is. I can't because Fred is not Brazilian. He's from Bolivia. That guy has been killing a living. But if you had Ndombele, okay, take the French squad for instance, yeah. So if you had Ndombele beside Pogba. With Kante as the sitter. Oh my God. How are you getting the ball? How are you getting the ball? You've got two guys whose ball retention is the best probably in world football today. Let's be honest. When Pogba turns up and he's like, boom, you're not getting this ball off me. You're not getting the ball off. And then Ndombele has that esque ability. Yeah. I just see somebody in the comments saying, we need Kessie. We need God. Okay. we need Jesus. it's not just Kessie we need. We need a lot of divine intervention because I missed the first half and I caught the last half an hour of the second half. And there was one run that Ndombele was making and I was like, Lord have mercy. At what point during the summer did he go under the knife? Because he did not have... There was a lot in that truck. And I'm like, big man, just wear bigger shorts. We don't need to see that. We don't need to see that. I don't understand what is... He's got a lot holding him back. So when we see him running and we see him tired and all that kind of stuff, it's because he's suffering. He's suffering back there, bro. Yeah? And this is annoying because we don't know if he's an 8 or a 10. The truth of the matter is, he is an 8. Legit. Yeah, he is actually an 8. But we need to play him in a free role. We actually need to say, do whatever you want to do on that pitch for 80 or 70 minutes because you can't go past 70 minutes. Man struggles in it. But for 70 minutes, do whatever you... But we need to build a team in a sense where the players know that, all right, fine, he's not going to fill that space. I need to go fill that space. That's how you work a team. You build a team. Our team right now is built between a hybrid of Harry Kane in his prime years and Dele Alli in his first 2 years. And both of them, as it stands right now, as we speak, are stinking. So that's why we stink, because our team was built around that ethos and the player that made it work, we sold to Inter. I mean, get off this horse.
In this 4-2-3-1, can Ndombele play as a 6?
No. Hell no.
No. No.
He can't do it.
No,
I think he can, just not under Nuno.
He
can't play a 6 for Nottingham. He can't play a 6 for City. Did you not see? The man runs leaning forward. Do you know what that means?
He's running. Back.
You don't run.
He's double cheeked up on a Thursday afternoon, bro.
My thing with him as well is like, Højbjerg is not a... Again, Højbjerg, he started off doing a really good job for us in DM first half of last season, then he fell away second half of the season, innit? I like Højbjerg. I think he's a good player, man. But he's not someone who's going to sit. He's not going to sit. He ain't a sitter. He's a seek and destroy type player. Oh my God, these comments. He's a seek and destroy player, and he can even move the ball as well. Like, he can pass the ball. But like, if you have him and Ndom sit, if you have him and Ndom as the two behind the 10, it's going to be repeats of what we saw in the second half last season, where there was a clear and glaring hole in our midfield. Not to say that the midfield dramatically improves when Ndom is playing in the 10 and stuff, because I still think we have midfield issues, but the better balance for the team would be Ndom removed away from playing the number 6 role or number 8 role in a 2 when he has to do as much defensive work as he does offensive work.
I think that you can't play him on the same, and I know that he prefers it, but I don't think you can play him on the same side as Reguilón, because both of them don't want to play defense for shit. So the right wing just opens up. So that's why I think that you can't play him as a 6, because I mean, if you take out if you push him back at the 6 and you take out Skip, then nobody's playing defense. And if you take out Højbjerg, then you're losing one of the players who can do something, you know, positive occasionally. So like, I don't see how you can play him as part of a double pivot. Like I was saying, if there was another 8 who could do it with him, then maybe it would work. You know, he could play that sort of free 8. The other one could play a more defensive 8. But I don't think that you can play a double pivot with Ndombele back there, because you're playing a single pivot, just, you know, claiming playing a double.
You know, what about like playing him? Because for me, I don't think we've seen, and I know he didn't have a good game on Sunday, but how many times have we seen the 4-3-3 where it's been Skip sitting, Højbjerg as the more defensive 8 and Ndom in the free roll? How many times have we seen that this season? I know it didn't bang against Arsenal, and they switched to a 4-2-3-1 against who's that team? Against Aston Villa. And then aside from that, I think we only saw it with Wolves. I want to say Wolves and maybe Ren. I think I would like to see that combination in a 4-3-3 more than I would in a 4-2-3-1 over the course of this season. But I just want to see that combination of midfielders play regularly for us this season. Any half decent opposition or important game, I want to see those three play.
I just don't trust Højbjerg, man. Sorry to see it.
I trust him with Skip behind him, not by himself.
Listen, Skip is our only DM. Yeah, we
Skip has to play every game now.
This is crazy. Yeah. I can't believe we're saying that, but he actually has to. And he's not even Skip playing even levels like that, but we actually need him to sit.
Not yet. He can be. But
we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, he could be. But right,
I've got a question.
Let me skip as well. Like, he and the Nuno, he's apparently he did that interview, which I think it was The Athletic published. And he's basically like, okay, yeah, Nuno's giving me advice, he's improving me, but I just hope that advice isn't just his defensive actions, which were particularly good against Aston Villa, I have to say. Like, that clearance he done on Ings, which was practically an overhead kick in our own box. A lot of his tackles and interceptions were crucial. I just hope Nuno's encouraging him to come out of show in regards to carrying the ball, which he can do. His passing range is very good as well. I hope Nuno's encouraging that. I just don't think he is. But all I say is I hope he is giving him that advice, because he's more than capable. Like, he's got a higher ceiling than what Højbjerg's current level of ability is.
Højbjerg's not at the ceiling, bruv. He's halfway down the steps. You know what time it is.
Højbjerg, come on. Let's cut Højbjerg some slack. We know he's not, like, elite. He's a good midfielder, man.
Well, why am I cutting slack? I watched the compilation here of every single player. In the league, run past this guy. Every single player in the league run past this guy. Do you know how many players are in the league for you to get run by? What are you? A stripper with no piece? Come on, stop that. It's mad. Højbjerg is halfway down the steps. You boys know what that means. Yeah?
Listen.
It means come on down, bro. You know what it means.
Listen, someone else needs to go under the lights, yeah. Because I don't think I'm too far off if I say that Reguilón was probably the worst on the pitch over the whole game.
Nope.
What, against Aston Villa?
Against Aston Villa.
You're wrong.
I think Ndombele was worse.
There was one that was even worse. You're wrong. There was one that was even worse.
Two worse, even found the person that beat up his brother.
He was worse.
I think Harry Kane and Ndombele were worse for me. I think Reguilon, I'm not going to lie, I think Reguilon did... I think that's probably the best defensively I've seen him since the Man City game, which probably isn't saying a lot because he's not really... He's been poor in 2021, let's be real. He's been arse in 2021, the calendar year. But I think defensively, he did his thing in the second half. First half, it was a little bit touch and go in the first, like, probably 15, 20 minutes. But I thought he did his defensive work diligently in the second half. But you are right. He is someone that definitely needs to be under the microscope in terms of his performances, because I don't know what's happened to him going forward. I don't really get... I don't get the vibe that he's going to do something when he gets into the final third that I did when in his first couple of months. Like, he just doesn't really provide.
I think that's the problem.
Go on.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, I think he relies on his speed so much that he's not getting anywhere. Like, he's trying to, like, run past everybody, but people have figured it out. So you play off, you know, a step off of him, he's not going to do anything. He's not going to cut in, really. So at a certain point, like, it's like, okay, he's been figured out. I feel like when he first arrived, people are like, didn't quite get his foot speed. And now people are like, okay, this is all he's going to do. And he's not a good enough defender to justify it. The problem is that there's no other option. You know, like we talked about, Skip can't come off the field. Like, what, Ben Davies? Is that the option?
Oh, God.
That's Jesus what we're doing.
So, like, oh my God.
So it's the same thing where it's like, okay, like, yeah, he's not great, but, like, what else are we gonna do? I mean,
Ryan Suss.
Yeah.
Right. What was that name that you just mentioned? Listen, there is no way a suspect should be playing football. Yeah? If you're a suspect, you should be in court or in jail. Yeah, that's it. Yeah? This guy, he owes us money. That's fraud. Yeah, that's absolute fraud.
It's so hard to defend Cesc, man, because he's actually just a known entity in our team, man. He don't play, and the few games he plays doesn't really convince. And we can't even make a case for him getting a run in the team because he's not even fit. He's not even fit enough for us to give him a run in the team. Mm. Yeah.
That guy's another
area. Which brings us back to the point that, like, you can't do anything because Reguilon doesn't have anybody challenging him. Like, so, like, fine, cool, great.
I think that's a problem in itself, though. He's not got anyone to challenge him.
That's what I mean. He needs to get back to fitness to at least look like he's going to challenge him. Whether he actually gets to run a game or not, then...
He needs to get sold.
But then who do we buy?
Anyone.
Because that's what I mean. We probably shouldn't have sold Dennis Shirkin so early, but...
I was thinking that. But yeah, Sunderland.
I get why we sold him. We sold him to what? Like,
where is he right now?
We might have a clause in, but he's at Sunderland. He's at Sunderland.
Career finished. Sunderland. He's finished. What have we done? No, we're rude. We sent this youth to Sunderland, and Newcastle just got taken over. Oh my God! Wow! No, we're a bad club. We're a very bad club. We have no respect. We sent this youth to Sunderland. Matt, I don't think you men are taking on. Newcastle hates Sunderland. That owner is going to understand that this club needs to never come anywhere near us. If Sunderland even look like they're making movements, that guy's going to buy that club and sell all their good players and just let them do crap. Bro, Sunderland are finished. We've killed this kid's career. Enoch out.
But yeah, before we move on, I just wanted to do a quick shout out to Heung-min Son for that game. I think he was objectively the best player on the pitch. Supreme. We would have probably lost that game, really and truly, if he wasn't on it. He made Matty Cash look like an absolute schoolboy. So I had to give him a shout out before we did move on. As for Enoch out, in the lead-up to the game, the Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Trust did request a meeting with Enoch and Levy to discuss the short-term and long-term plans. That was rejected. And Paratici then came out with an interview following the Aston Villa game when morale was kind of a little bit higher, just to kind of say that the club is still committed, working hard on the long-term plan, and asked for the fans' support. Really, truly, should the board have accepted the supporters' trust meeting?
No, and I'll tell you why. Yeah,
I know you're going to say know your role.
No. No, they should know their role and they should shut their mouths. Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Yeah, that supporters' trust. Let me break this down. Asa, we welcome you to the NSO. Yeah, hey, let me make this clear. For the supporters trust, I don't support you, man. Yeah, you are legacy fans. You're not no football. You're the kind of people that will say Harry Winks, bar Owen, because we know Owen has stocks in Winks, so it's cool. Like, we can allow Owen. But you, man, would definitely make a case for Winks starting every single week. So let me say this about the supporters trust. You didn't even throw a good enough protest at the ESL. You went and had a concert. Then you made a video that looked like it was an appeal for Nora Simone instead of telling the board that you were pissed off. I saw children in the video saying, I want my club back. I saw old men saying, I want my club back. I saw old women saying, I want my club back. You man had lost my respect. That same week, United fans went and stormed the pitch, had penalty kickoffs, freaking done overhead kicks, celebrated in an empty stand. That's a real protest. So as far as I'm concerned, the supporters trust, this is the only time I'm going to support Levy, by the way. I want Levy to take a bucket of water, mix it with some of his own turd, add some piss on top of that, head down to a meeting with the supporters trust and dash it all over their faces. Yeah? Because them man don't deserve an ounce of respect. You mean to tell me you request a meeting with the board and they rejected you and all you're doing is being silent? I don't see no graffiti on the stadium. I don't see eggs, toilet roll. I don't see nothing. I want to see anger. That's what I want to see. You see, the thing is, with us, man, talking on this podcast, we're not holding no bonds. I don't hold no favourites no more. My favourite player to play for Spurs in the most recent years was Van der Vaart. He came over for 18 months, so true passion was quality. Didn't play every single game, but I loved it. It's fantastic. In recent years, people expect me to get behind the likes of Dier because he ran into the stadium, freaking stands, couldn't even find his brother's perpetrator, and then came downstairs saying, what do you want, bruv? Shut up, your chief, yeah? Listen, hear what I'm saying. Them supporters, or the supporters trust, they don't have enough of a backbone to get the board to accept any sort of proposal from them. I saw the dossier that they put in the summer. What have the board done to even appease any of that? Nothing. The board don't respect you.
Before I forget as well, wasn't there supposed to be a protest on Sunday before the Aston Villa game? Does anyone know if that happened?
I was late, so I couldn't make it.
I can answer that.
I didn't see anything when I was there.
I can answer it for Tobes. I know Tobes was late, but I can answer it for Tobes. Because I can actually see the stadium from where I was. Don't worry where I was at that day. But I can answer. Yeah.
What do you mean
worry.
By that?
Hey, Tom, don't worry about where I was.
What do you mean by that?
I'm around. Bro. Don't worry about me. I'm around. Yeah. There was no protest. Yeah. There was none. So it was just all smoke in the wind. That's all it was. Listen, these fans, the supporters trust, if they want the board to take them serious, they have to make a lot of noise. And the noise that they're making right now ain't enough. It ain't cutting it. The board ain't going to listen. It's all about money for this board right now. They're making money. So they don't really care about what happens on the pitch. We, the fans, have to make them care about what happens on the pitch. Otherwise, we're just going to be suffering like the Newcastle fans.
Bro, Levy showing them the same respect that he showed Harry Kane's brother. It's literally nothing, bro.
Listen, Harry Kane's brother... Harry Kane's brother's only client was his brother, and his brother sacked him. Your life means absolutely zero.
This is the thing. Like, I kind of like a little bit respect that they've actually gone to the board and they're trying to sentimentally stab in their necks a little bit, and they should probably continue doing that. But they need a refresh because,
yeah,
like in the wise words of Getz, like, who's on the panel? Because I can only see familiar faces. The board don't respect anyone on that supporters trust panel. We've seen it with the Super League. We've seen it with this latest rejection of a request for a meeting. And Tops is in the comments asking, what a few fans have been asking, where's the fan that they asked for on the board? He's actually in the stream, about to hop on another stream, but in the form of Goldberg, to probably mix it up on that panel. But it doesn't sound like, I haven't heard any noise from the club or even from the supporters trust as to what the progress is with this supposed fan being on the on the board and having a fan vote as well. So, yeah, it's weird.
It's like, go on, Nathan, you go first.
What I was going to say is I thought that the most interesting part about it is that the decision not to have a meeting, the reason to do that is to undermine the supporters' trust as a representative of the fan base, because it's super easy to have a meeting. You go in, you say, yep, we're going to definitely look into all of those things, and then you just do what you want. Like, it costs nothing. I mean, it's an hour of Daniel Levy's life, and he can go there, he can sing songs in his head, and then go about his day. The fact that he didn't take the meeting is a middle finger to the supporters trust and saying, like, look, you're not a legit representative of the fan base. We don't care what you think, and we're going to go about our lives.
I agree.
So, like, that was the most interesting part about it.
I agree, but this is why I think it's a bit of a fucked up situation for the Spurs fans who don't like the trust and also want affirmative action from the owners, because it's like the trust have shown themselves to be buffoons a lot of the time. They don't really stick to the topic at hand, and they don't put forward the points that we as a fan base want to be discussed with the right people when they're in a position to do so. Case in point being the last time they spoke. Do you remember the dossier?
No,
that they showed,
no, like, footballing issues. Just, bruv, about
just talking about, oh, well, the and, oh, we won our club. Shut up. Talk about how bad this club have been for 2 years and what they're going to do to address the decline. So it's annoying that they're the ones who represent us. But at the same time, they need to put pressure on this board, because this board tell us one thing and they do another thing. We were told that we're going to go back to attacking, front-footed football, etc. Yet we've seen nothing of the sort this season. Everything they say, they contradict. And someone needs to hold them accountable. But unfortunately for us, we have an inconsistent trust as the only people who can genuinely get these guys into a room and talk. So it's a lose-lose situation for us.
Yeah.
It's a lose-lose situation because Enoch is basically Konami. Yeah? So for all you gamers that know what I'm talking about, Konami do the same thing. They promise you one thing, they lie all day. And that's what Enoch is, yeah? Enoch told us we're going to go back to the Tottenham way. Mind you, I object to that because the Tottenham way is full of heartache. I'm not interested in that. But they promised us the Tottenham way and they lied, yeah? They promised us that. I mean, the only thing that they stuck to was Harry Kane ain't going. Or should I say the muck ain't going, yeah? But yeah, we kept the muck and we didn't even buy any striker to, like, make him realise we don't really need you like that. So now it looks like we do really need him like that, yeah? And we're stuck with him. Thanks. Thanks a bunch.
Well, I'm worried that they found another guy in Paratici as well that's just going to be a mouthpiece for their vision. Because when I was listening to the little interview he put out, like, I just saw it as, like, he was indirecting fucking Jack. He's just telling, you know, like when Jack was saying there's nothing to be positive about. He's just basically, if like he made that interview just speaking directly to Jack saying, you've got to remain positive, da, 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 even if you do nothing, even if all we bought is Gil and things, you have to be positive. Like, there's nothing to be positive about. That's the problem. The problem is there's absolutely nothing. Like, from now to January, I'm not in any rush to watch any game. And that's just honesty. If I'm going to watch a game, it's going to be because of how I feel on the day. Do you know what I mean? Like, how many times have we been speaking about tickets and then all of these things? And I'm just like, boy, I've got stuff to do. I'm not going to lie. I'm not trying to ruin my weekend like this. Yes, I think Yao, you said it best, man. Like I'm pretty much ready for him to leave. Like I know I haven't really given him a chance, but I just don't see where this is going. I really don't.
Listen, this is gonna sound mad, yeah. So I need people to understand this. Nuno could win the FA Cup. I still want him sacked. I do not want him. Yeah, I want him gone. Yeah, and we could win the Premier League in the next 5 years. Obviously, it's not going to happen. So for all you in the comments that are like, oh, yeah, you're chatting nonsense. Shut up. It's not going to happen yet. I'm just making a hypothesis. Yeah, we could win the Premier League in 5 years. I still want Enoch gone. There are certain things that just have to leave my life. Two things right now. Enoch, Nuno, go. After that, Delhi, I do not respect Delhi. My father, Ali, needs to dissolve as a human being. That boy needs to
Well, say no more. Say no more. Well, it could all be a big shake-up soon. Because, I mean, really, truly, there's going to be a lot of things kicked off. Obviously, Newcastle got taken over today, and they've got a big injection of money coming in. They're going to look to spend hundreds of millions. And I think that's going to give a lot of the teams in this ESL lawsuit a kick up the arse to get that going as well. Because really, at this point, current status quo, no one can keep up with Newcastle's spending power. I don't know how much they're going to be able to spend, depending on how relaxed FFP rules are, but it's going to look to be probably at least 300 billion.
They said 100, and so they've been in profit the past like 2 or 3 years, and I think you're allowed to make a loss of what, like 100 million or something like that. So I read an article today, and it said that they could basically go out and blow just under 200 million next summer, and it would be fine.
There you go. Yeah. Or January, even.
Yeah, or January, yeah. Yeah. Bruv.
They're going to go high. Like, are Spurs going to be primed for a takeover? Or, I mean, could the Super League even come in and save us? Because I know we've had some objectives to the Super League initially, but really and truly, if we're not going to fall behind Newcastle, we actually need it.
Yeah, we do. What? Eric, you quote tweeted it on today when the touchline will mention it, and I actually agreed with you, because in my head, I'm looking at it, I'm like, Spurs definitely have the infrastructure in place for like a takeover. Like, you got the shiny new stadium, you got the shiny training ground, your books are green as grass. Like, this, they've been making money for years. Like, even when we've got this massive debt over us, we post record numbers in terms of like our revenue, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Everything looks attractive towards a mega investment. I don't know. What's your take? Well, I know your take.
I 100% agree. And I also think, I think it was Dan making the comment, I'm not sure, but he was saying how some of these investors, they like want to go into an area and almost give that area the football team success that they crave, so that the area can sort of like, I don't know, like, what is that? It's like support them as well. Like, they can feel supported. They can feel like they brought that joy or that prestige to the area. And I feel like Tottenham is an area where you can do that. Like, there is space for somebody to come in and bring us that dynasty, or do what Man City did, have that shape, that that dynasty, man, that era, that new era of of football dominance. And I think that's what Spurs are lacking right now. Like, we have everything, we have all of the position, we have we even have a blank slate for being able to build the team. It's not like we have we're not in a situation like, say, I don't know, like a Liverpool, where Liverpool, they if they get taken over at the moment, they've got all of these players on big wages and everything like that. I don't really think we're in that situation at the moment. We've got an aging squad. We've got people that we should be getting rid of. Like, we just need to not be giving people new contracts, and we need to be dealing with the situation as and when it comes. That there's probably one player that I would keep, and we already have him. That's fun.
Yeah.
I think the sort of the situation in terms of like taking over the club, or if there's going to be some sort of massive investment. The problem with the Tottenham situation is that, like, if you look at Newcastle, people were talking about, oh, Newcastle's back. They were never here. Like, they're not a thing. Man City, prior to the massive investment, it wasn't a thing. PSG, prior to the investment, wasn't a thing. So if you look at the consistency here, there's no history. And so you can sort of remake a club however you want. And I think with Tottenham, the problem with Tottenham from an investment standpoint, I mean, someone in the comments was talking about an American will come in and do it. I mean, maybe. I don't have 3.5 billion, but if I did, I would. But the problem is that, like, if you're coming from, if we're talking about like these sovereign wealth funds, you know, Saudi, Qatari, Emirati, why do they want an established fan base with a massive stadium when they can just do it themselves? You know? So I think that that's why there's probably some drawback, because Lewis and Enoch aren't going to take less than 3 billion. And I think Newcastle went for what? 300 million. I mean, that can't get you an NBA team. So if you're an American, you know, like if you're going to come over here, or if you're one of these sovereign wealth funds, it's a significantly larger investment into Tottenham than it would be for, you know, Sunderland or whoever.
Yeah, I think on top of that, the biggest problem we actually have, as much as we have the infrastructure going forward, and, you know, we have the new stadium, the new facilities, we have everything in place in terms of the structure, and there's more to come. There is far more to come. Like, they're building hotels and apartments literally around the stadium. Like, it's going to become its own bloody city. I think that's where actually our problem is. Our problem is because we're, like, on the outside, very shiny. What is there left for any investor to come and build? So with Man City were what? I think they were in Division One or at least the Championship when they got taken over.
Championship.
Yeah. So they just come up to the Premier League, they got taken over, and they bought Company, young Company at this time, and they were playing Company DM. This was when he, like, just come from Anderlecht, you know. So, like, he was.
No, City were in the league. They were in the league.
Yeah. So they come. So that's what I'm saying. When they come to the league, they bought Company and they bought quite a few players, but they still had players like Steven Island on the books, and they were trying to get rid of him. But what I remember specifically about City is their stadium was the old
Main Road.
No. The stadium that they took over was the Commonwealth Games stadium.
Yeah, City of Manchester.
Yeah. So they basically got given a stadium. Yeah. So you now got owners coming in thinking, bro, we're gonna get this new stadium that we don't really have to pay for. It's already been made for us. Yeah. All we have to do is really change the infrastructure around the team and the facilities and all that kind of stuff. We can do that over a 10-year period. And we'll be fine. We'll just make profit every single year. Whereas with Spurs, you've already got that. So everything you're coming to buy is at top value. Like, I mean, it financially makes more sense to buy a Newcastle than it does to buy, say, a Spurs. And that's where I think our problem is. Because now we're then stuck with these assholes that we
call. Not necessarily, in. Though. Because, Error mentioned it as well. Like, some of these owners may relish coming into the club and giving something to the club that they just haven't had. And with Spurs, in our lifetime, it's been success. The club are starved of success. And I think all the infrastructure we have in place gives them the confidence that if they make that heavy investment, they know their money's safe. Because as you've seen with the trajectory with Spurs, it's going up and up and up. The capacity to make more money at Spurs keeps increasing every year. And I just think this is a money machine that's going to keep growing and growing. The Premier League is going to keep growing. So by default, if Spurs are meant to be one of the top seven or teams in the Premier League and are still in European competitions, et cetera, they're going to keep growing as a business. So for me, their money's safe. So I'm retaining some small hope that someone out there looks at us and says, yes, commercially they're viable. All they need is just that backing to make the team on the pitch better, and then we are set. That's what I'm praying for.
This is the thing, and same likewise, because you've got to look at the playing squad as well when you're, like, taking into account investment. Like, what I love, someone commented, like, Joe Lewis is 84, he's got to give it up eventually. Like, I love how he's been part of this whole growth of the club for like 20 plus years, just drinking unicorn blood, staying alive and waiting for us to actually, like, sell so he can take his money. But yeah, you've got to look at Newcastle. Sorry if you can hear vehicles driving in the background, but you've got to look at Newcastle that they need to overhaul most of their playing squad, whereas we're much closer to obviously challenging for bigger things. And with Kane and Son, obviously, you know, Kane's a bit of a mook at the moment, but if we were spending to inspire him to stay, then he's going to like re-perform. So with Kane and Son, we've got two of the top hitters in the league at the moment. I think all you really need for us to be challenging right up there again is two or three top players, whereas Newcastle need a new team. So you've got to think about how much legwork has to be done in that area. So it kind of goes on to a question of, if Spurs were to get a takeover from a kind of owner from Saudi Arabia, or we get that little package if the Super League comes back, like how much would we really and truly need to do to be top challengers again? Open question.
Yeah, I mean, not much. I mean, like the thing is that it's like it's the problem with Newcastle is that there's nobody in that squad who can be a backup for a serious contender. I mean, if you told me that the backups, you know, to the starting right back was Emerson, and the backup was Reguilón, and the backup was Dyer, but you know, Romero or Rodon or whatever, I'd be like, all right, fine, whatever. But the problem is that those are the starters. So like, I think like the delta between like where we are and where we need to be isn't as large as like as a Newcastle or whatever, but there's probably as far of a gap between Spurs and City as between, you know, Newcastle and Spurs, which is its own problem.
I think I heard recently that Yo Gotti bought a MLS team. Yo Gotti, is that true? Am I a guess? Because I was going to say the gap between us and Man City is about as big as the gap between us and the MLS team that Yo Gotti bought. That's how I see it. Like, I feel like the gap is quite big right now. But I still feel like we can do it. I just feel like it's going to take a big initial investment, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
I do need to say that MLS, you think that MLS is at a level, and I promise you it's below. I live here. It is, it's not good.
When I'm hearing rappers are buying football teams, I can't guess that.
Dude couldn't get on the field. it's bad. But there's a lot of money to be made in MLS because it's a closed system and the entire thing's a conspiracy racket. But whatever, it's fine.
Okay, so how many players would you think we need to sign if we were to get taken over to, say, get in like top three, challenge for the league?
Honest opinion, with no hyperbole, I think 10. I would have said 9 if Lloris wasn't getting old, but I think 10. I think we need 10 new players. Son is the only one I think that we can keep as a starting lineup player in a squad that's going to be really challenging for a title. I don't think you're going to get away with it with less than that.
I would say, funnily enough, keep Romero, keep Skip, but have Skip come off the bench as a rotation. Keep Son, sell the hell out of every single person else. I never want to see Dyer, Sanchez ever again. Yeah.
That's so the thing. That's what
it'd change. Probably be around 7 or 8.
Some of the
probably be 7 or 8 true starters, and probably about three real contenders for the starting position. There's not many players I want to keep in this team because I've had enough.
Yeah, I mean, I would say 8 because I'm an optimist, but even that assumes that Gallini turns into what I think he will. But that's hope. Ooh. But yeah, 8, 7, 8, 9, a lot.
For the short term, yeah, I'd say 5, but that includes a manager, a progressive manager. And so we've had to say goodbye to Acer and Tops and Tobe. Sorry. Tobes has got another stream. Ace has got a busy schedule. It's during the day, some him. So we've said goodbye to them. But yeah, a more progressive manager, and then four players. I've got a few names in mind. I said like an Ismaïla Sarr. I feel like if we were going to play like a 4-3-3 and Kane is that determined to keep on dropping deep, at least give him someone competent on the right-hand side that can be penetrative and score goals and attack space in behind and essentially just not run into players when he's dribbling. That would be cool. A creative centre midfielder who can potentially play the box-to-box role as well. I see Frank Kessié doing a lot. I know we're going to be in competition with Newcastle for him now when we get blown out of the water, but he'd be a name if we were to ever get taken over by some miracle centre-back. And is that three players? Like improving that, I guess a backup striker would be needed. So, yeah. Another forward, right winger, creative centre mid, centre back, new manager. And I think we're minimum challenging for the league. Like, I still don't think it's as uphill a task as made out to be. I feel like we've got a decent young squad, but I just don't see us investing that kind of money anytime soon unless, again, we have some major sugar daddy come into our lives.
Agreed.
I think, yeah. it's stress because I think, like you said, it's going to be more than just buying players as well. It's the new manager. It's going to be the way that they want to play and it's going to be implementing that into a system of players too. So it's going to take some time as well. And it's just not ideal, man. It's really not ideal. I feel like we're going to waste funds this year if we don't sort this situation out ASAP.
Well, we can only hope and pray.
Exactly. And that kind of goes on to this comment we've got here, like of players we could potentially sign. Donnarumma, probably unrealistic because he's just signed for PSG. Lamptey, yes. Romero, yeah, he's already there. Skriniar, yeah, I'll welcome him in. I'm sure you will. Gosens, I believe that's meant to say. Hasimuwa, I'm not sure. We got Pape Matasar, who's probably going to come in and be better than who are straight off the bat, but as it stands, I'd still have him. Ismaïla Sarr has to be done. Jeremy Doku. Yeah, I'll probably have him over Bergwijn at the moment if Bergwijn's not performing soon. And Vlahovic not signing a new contract with Fiorentina. We need to at least be sniffing. I don't know if you guys had any other names we should potentially go for.
Because I don't think they're going to happen. So,
no point, or Newcastle just going to blow us out of the water. Man. Right. But yeah, Newcastle will be in our next game. We're going to touch up on that more next week. We're going to do a little preview, but really, truly, we've got this international football debacle going on at the moment with very little clarity. But it looks like we're going to be missing Romero, Sanchez, Lo Celso, and Emerson. But again, we'll be back next week for that preview. As for now, Era, Yao, thank you for joining me tonight. It's been wonderful. Turbinator, thank you again. And the new Spurs Order, delivering that good content. Make sure you can listen out for us every Saturday. We still stream every Thursday evening, or at least aim to. And we have Discord representation most weekends as well. So, yeah, listen out for us, man. As for now, until next week, this Spurs Order out. Take care.
On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. A great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.